Specifically at verses 4 through 9, it'll be a familiar passage of Scripture for you in those verses, but I trust that as we go to the Word of God this morning, and though the passage is familiar, we understand that the lessons are valuable, and I trust that that would be the case this morning. As you read through the book of Numbers, you will learn of the wilderness wanderings, and you'll read about the children of Israel as they're led by the Lord through the wilderness, and of course, we understand that it was God's plan to deliver them from Egypt and to take them to the land of promise, but because of their unbelief and their unwillingness to obey and to live by faith, we find that they wandered there in the wilderness. And we find that as we study through the book of Numbers, there are several specific accounts that God provides us with that help us understand the importance of faith and obedience. And we find that as we look at this particular book and think about the content of the book of Numbers, we are mindful of the fact that God is leading the children of Israel. We understand that Moses is the human leader, but we are aware of the fact that God, after the Passover, that He led His people with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and we understand the leadership that God provided. By the way, aren't you thankful for God's leadership? I'm thankful that today, though we do not have a pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night, we have the complete canon of Scripture. We have the Word of God. As New Testament believers, we have the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, and the Scriptures tell us that He will guide us into all truth, and I am so thankful for God's leadership and His direction in our lives. We find that as we come to Numbers 21, the beginning of the chapter opens up with providing us with a record of Israel's victory over King Arad and the Canaanites. The Bible tells us, and when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. We find that it's a very quick record that is provided, but the children of Israel have victory, for it tells us in verse number 3 that the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel. You can read their vow in verse number 2, and delivered up the Canaanites. And so we find that Numbers 21 begins with a record of victory. We end the book of, or the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers in verse 10 all the way down through the end of the chapter in verse number 35, and you'll read there that God provides us with the record of Israel's victory over Sihon and Og. And so as we look at Numbers chapter 21, it's a very interesting chapter in the Word of God, for you find that it begins with victory and it ends with victory. But in these few verses, these handful of verses that I want to focus our attention on this morning, we find that God provides us, in between these great victories, really the failure of His people and the judgment, and we look and we see the record of those fiery serpents. And it's very interesting to me how that you would read in verses 4 through 9 of these fiery serpents, and you would read of the sin of the people, the complaining of the people, and all that takes place, and you would be mindful of the fact of the victory that had just taken place at the beginning of the chapter. We find that as you would study through the Word of God, that oftentimes you will find that God's people become greatly vulnerable to the attack of the enemy in times of victory. In times of victory. It's in those times of victory that we can become self-sufficient, self-dependent. We can come to the place where we feel like we can handle this, and we come to a place where we begin to think that we may know more or that we may have a better plan. And we find that in this particular chapter that it was the plan that God had for the children of Israel that they complained about, the direction and the provision that He had provided them with, and we find that they complained about that. I'll take some time this morning to go through the verses 4 through 9, provide you with some an outline, if you will, but at the end of the message, and really the bulk of the message this morning, I want to focus upon Moses. And I want to look at the behavior of Moses as it's provided to us here in this portion of Scripture, and trust that God would use his behavior and his example to encourage us and to challenge us in our own walk with God. We find that in verse number seven, it says at the end of the verse, "And Moses prayed for the people." And you see that we've used that title this morning, Moses prayed for the people. I want you to just take a quick outline of the passage of Scripture. Notice with me, number one, if you would, consider the problem. In verses 4 through 6, God reveals to us the problem that they encounter here. The Bible says in verse number 4, "And they, the children of Israel, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." I want you to think about verse number 4 here and understand as we begin to dig into the problem and we want to be able to identify the cause of the problem. If we were to say in this passage of Scripture that the problem is the fiery serpents, then how did that come about? Why did these fiery serpents come? We find that the Bible begins to reveal to us in verse number 4 about their journey, the details concerning the path that God would lead them on. The Bible tells us that they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And we find that God reveals to us here the direction that He's providing them with. Again, by way of introduction, I made note that the fact that God is the one providing them with leadership. It is God that is leading them and directing them. Yes, Moses is the human leader of the children of Israel, but God is providing that direction. And the Bible ends in verse number 4 with this note: the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You know, if we're not careful in our lives, we can get discouraged because of the way, the journey. It may not be the exact path that we had laid out for ourselves. It might not be the plan that we developed, the plan that we think, but we understand that God is sovereign and God has a plan and God is the one providing the leadership. And if we're not careful this morning, we can become discouraged just like the people. And notice what happens after their heart is discouraged, after the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Notice how that they responded to that measure of discouragement. And by the way, understand this morning that discouragement is unfortunate. And we find that many people in our society today deal with disappointment and discouragement. But how do we respond in times of discouragement? Notice this is a poor example of responding in time of discouragement. The people, they spake against God. Wow. You say, "I'd never do that." Maybe not out loud. Right? They spake against God. And the Bible says against Moses. Their response was to speak against the Lord, to question perhaps His goodness, to question His understanding, to question the direction in which they led them. As they would be here in this desert place, as they would be here in this difficult place, we find that they respond to that way that they were led by speaking against God and against Moses. And notice what they say. Notice their complaint. It says, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" By the way, is not this a recurring theme for the children of Israel? They often would say, in fact, immediately before they ever cross the Red Sea, when they're facing the Red Sea and the Egyptians are in hot pursuit behind them, they say that God led us here to die because there weren't enough graves over in Egypt. We find that they continue with this thought, this theme, and they not only say that, but I want you to notice how that their complaint, what are they complaining about? Number one, the direction that God provided, but also they're complaining about God's provision. Notice what they say, and they say this: "For there is no bread." Now, is that true or false? It's false. They even say at the end of their statement, after they say there is no bread, they say, "And our soul loatheth this light bread." They've been deceived. Their complaint about the provision. I want you to think about this bread that they refer to as light bread. I want you to think about the provision of God, the miraculous provision of God. This is manna. And God would rain down manna for them. And it was so interesting. They would go out and they would gather the manna, and they would have sufficient. And of course, if they gathered more than they were supposed to and they tried to store it overnight, those first days, what would happen? Man, it would rot, it would grow worms, it would stink. But we find that on day number six, they're to go out and they're to gather twice as much. Why? For God was not going to send the manna on the Sabbath. And we find that there were some that they did not gather twice as much. They went out and they tried to find it, and there was none. Why? They didn't follow the direction. But God miraculously had provided this manna. It's His sustenance for His people. It's His provision. And they're complaining about God's provision. And then they say this: neither is there any water. Now, when they first leave Egypt, they come to a place of bitter water. God miraculously heals those waters so that they could drink. We find that they then would come to a place where there's no water. And what did God do? He told Moses where to go and told him about a rock and told him to smite the rock and waters would gush out. And what happened? God provided water. I mean, the miraculous provision of God. Listen, the truth of the matter, Matthew tells us in the sixth chapter that God knows what we have need of. God knows our needs. He's formed us, He's made us, and He knows what we need, and He graciously provides for us. And we find here that the children of Israel, the problem that is here, that they are complaining about the direction that God has provided. They're complaining about the provision that God has provided. We find that their sin of complaining would be judged. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Isn't that a sad verse of Scripture? The Bible tells us in verse number 6 that it was God who sent the fiery serpents. The Bible tells us in verse number 6 that these fiery serpents, they bit the people. And the Bible tells us that many people, much people of Israel died. God is just in all of His doings. We find that their sin is met with judgment. The justice of God is on display, and we find that as we look at this problem and we consider the problem this morning and we think about their heart, their soul being discouraged because of the way, and see their response to complaining not only about the direction that God has provided, but even for the provision of God, we find that they failed to recognize God's good hand that had been upon them. You know, God had been so good to them, and God's been so good to us. Amen? When we complain, someone said it this way, when we complain, we're questioning the goodness of God. God is good all of the time. And we find that in the passage of Scripture that is before us, that they had this victory. They made a vow to God in verse number 2, and God hearkened to them, and God gave them the victory. And immediately after the victory, they begin to journey following the leadership that God would provide, and they begin to complain about the way. And as they complain about the way, they say, "By the way, there's no bread." "No, there is bread. You had it this morning." "Yeah, but I don't like that bread. I'm tired of that bread. My soul loatheth this light bread. There's no water. Did you forget what God did? Did you forget how God worked? Did you forget the mighty hand of God?" Every step of the way, God had provided for His people. And yet they complain. We see the problem with the fiery serpents, and we find that they're in great distress because of these fiery serpents. All of a sudden, their mind is no more upon the direction or the bread or the water, because they have fiery serpents that have entered into the camp that God has sent, and people are being bitten and people are dying from these serpents. I want you to consider not only the problem, but consider God's provision. We'll come back to verse number 7 in just a little while, but we find that the people come and they speak to Moses, and Moses prays. In verse number 8, notice the provision. As we consider God's provision, God said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it, shall live. We sing the song, Look and Live, and it's from this particular passage of Scripture that the songwriter wrote those words to that familiar hymn. And we find that as we consider the provision of God, and we find here this morning that God says to Moses to make a fiery serpent, to set it upon a pole. He tells him that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Isn't that good news? Isn't that miraculous to see how God is providing? We find that here, just as we mentioned in verse number 6, that it was the judgment of God, but now we see the grace and mercy of our God. I'm so thankful this morning that our God is gracious and He's merciful. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. I'm thankful that He loves us. As we begin to understand the provision of God as it's laid out in verse number 8, and we find that Moses then responds in obedience, and we'll look at verse 7 and 9 here in just a moment, but I want you to not only note the problem and the provision, but I want you to consider the picture. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we find that Jesus would make reference to this Old Testament account when speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 14, we find that Jesus would say this to Nicodemus. With regard to this very account that we're looking at here in Numbers chapter 21, we find that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, says to Nicodemus in verse number 14 of John 3, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We find that as we would consider the picture here of Numbers chapter 21, we find that it's a picture of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We sang this morning the last song that we sang, At the Cross. And I'm so thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary in taking my place and your place. And we think about this picture from Numbers chapter 21, and we see how Jesus references this in John chapter number 3. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus about being born again. And how is it that Nicodemus, how is it that any person can be born again? It's through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Jesus would have to go to that cruel cross in order to pay for the sin of mankind. He'd be buried in that borrowed tomb, and He would rise conquering sin, death, and the grave. And we find that as we look at Numbers 21 and we understand there was a condition that was affecting the people, there were fiery serpents and people were dying. This morning, we'd understand, as we use the parallel and consider the picture this morning, that there's a universal condition of sin amongst people, human beings. And people that die without Christ spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's a biblical truth. And I'm so thankful that even as the Lord provided for the children of Israel there in Numbers 21, and He gave instruction there to Moses with regard to the brazen serpent, I'm so thankful that God provided a way. Aren't you thankful? Remember the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I'm so thankful for His provision. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He did for us what no other person could do for us. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, could die in our place to provide us with that gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're familiar with the passage of Scripture. We see the problem, the provision, the picture. I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning focusing on Moses and looking at his behavior in this particular situation. And as we begin to look at Moses in this particular situation, I hope this morning that we could relate to Moses, and perhaps that as we look at his behavior and look at his testimony here in these verses of Scripture in this situation, that God would help us, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be challenged by the way in which Moses responded. I want to remind you that in Numbers 21 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And the people spake against God," and then notice what it says, "and against Moses." They spoke against Moses. Not only against God, but against Moses. Now we understand that the greater offense is speaking against God. But Moses is the one that God had placed in that position of leadership, correct? Moses is the one that really he is there, and he's seeking to obey the Lord. He's seeking to be a faithful minister, and we find that the people are speaking against Moses. We find often throughout the Scriptures in the book of Numbers that there are many references in which the people speak against God and against Moses. They say of Moses, "You've led us here." And I've often thought about Moses and how he could say, "Did you not see? I was just leading you in the direction that God was leading us. Surely you saw the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire." We find that as we look at this passage of Scripture and we consider Moses and we look at his behavior, and we find that the people had spoken against him. But then notice in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Therefore the people came to Moses." How do we respond when someone speaks against us and then they come to us? They come to him and say, "Moses, they say this, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord.'" They recognize their sin. They recognize their failure. They recognize that they've sinned not only against Moses, but they recognize that they sinned against God. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." Forgiveness. Oh, it's so important in the life of a believer, isn't it? Forgiveness. Moses, in this situation, we find that evidently through his behaviors, we'll look at just a few things here in just a moment, we find that he evidently forgave these that had spoken against him. But certainly, if we're not careful, and if we're operating in the flesh more than we're operating in the Spirit, when someone speaks against us, how ready are we to respond to their seeking to make it right with forgiveness and then with intercession? See, why is it that we forgive? Well, we forgive because we've been commanded to do so. We forgive because we've been forgiven. I won't go to the passage of Scripture, but you look at Luke 17. You look at the example of Jesus. Remember when he says to the disciples, Peter asked that question, "Till seven times?" And Jesus says, "I say not unto thee unto seven times, but until 70 times seven." You read Luke 17 and you find there in the passage of Scripture, he speaks about somebody that comes multiple times in the same day and offends you, and how you respond in forgiveness. Someone said this about bitterness. Bitterness destroys the vessel in which it's stored more than the vessel in which it's poured. And when we fail to forgive, that root of bitterness that is spoken of in the book of Hebrews begins to spring up in us. And we find this morning that these people that had spoken against God and they spoke against Moses, they then come to Moses. They confess. They acknowledge their sin. And they say, "Moses, would you pray for us?" Notice with me, as we note his behavior, I note, first of all, his intercession. His intercession, the Bible says that they say to Moses after they had confessed and recognized their sin, they said, "Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." I want you to notice specifically that they have a specific request. What is their request? That the serpents be taken away. By the way, I don't fault them for that request. Amen? Praise God. Take them away. That'd be my request as well. I don't like serpents. I don't like the ones that they say are good. Amen? And so if they are fiery serpents and people are being bitten and they are dying, I want them taken away as well. I get it. I understand why they make the request. But we'll notice in just a few moments that God doesn't answer specifically the way that they request. You know, sometimes God's not going to take away your problem or mine. You say, but can't he? Sure he can. He has the ability to. But sometimes he chooses not to. Listen, just as God sent those fiery serpents, certainly he could have removed those fiery serpents. We see it in the plagues, right? In Egypt, we read about the plagues, and God sent those particular things, the frogs and the lice and so on and so forth, the flies and all of those things, and then God miraculously removed. And we find here their request. Their request is to pray. The specific nature of their request is that God would take away the serpents. And I want you to notice, and I've used it for the title this morning, and Moses prayed for the people. He prayed for the people. I note his intercession. You know, it's a great privilege to pray. Prayer, the time that we can commune with our God, that we enter into that prayer closet to get alone with God. When we think about prayer, there's many aspects of prayer, and we cannot deal with all of them in just a few minutes that we have this morning. But I want you to specifically note where the Bible says, and Moses prayed for the people. This is intercessory prayer. What a blessing to be able to take before the throne of God the needs of others, to pray for others. We think about the ministry of intercessory prayer. We think about the importance, as we find in the New Testament, that we're to pray one for another, that we're to bear one another's burdens. And we think about this interceding, this intercessory prayer, and that we have the privilege of going to the throne room of heaven and praying one for another. That we can bring those requests. Yes, we can pray for ourselves, but what a blessing to be engaged in that intercessory prayer and to know that others are praying for you. It's a great encouragement when someone sends a note or a card, just says, I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. We find that he is going to pray. We note his intercession. We note that God answers prayer. We've read it already, but notice in verse number 8 that God answers the prayer, and he answers it specifically. By the way, I'm thankful that God hears and answers prayer. He hears and he answers. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee, is what he said to Jeremiah in chapter 33 and verse number 3. He says, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we find that as Moses is interceding, as he's praying, that the Lord then says unto Moses in verse number 8, notice what he says, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, is that what the people had requested? No. The people requested that the fiery serpents be removed. He says this is what the people say, that he, God, take away the serpents from us. But when God answers, God says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a fiery serpent. I want you to set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. I want you to think about that just for a moment. They'd be bitten before they looked. Think about that. We find God's answer. And God answered specifically. And God gave specific direction to the request of Moses. The prayer of Moses is not detailed for us. It does not provide us here in the passage of Scripture what specifically Moses prayed for. The content of his prayer is not listed. It just simply says that Moses prayed for the people and God answered. And God gave that specific instruction. I know as we look at Moses and his behavior in this situation, we find that we note first his intercession. Note now with me, number 2, his obedience. His obedience. You know, the reality this morning is that it makes little sense to ask God for direction and then to refuse to obey it. It really makes little sense. Correct? We ask God, would you provide us with direction? Would you give us an answer? Would you do this? And God answers because God is faithful and God provides and God's given us His Word and we search the Scriptures and we study the Word of God and we hear preaching and we have our own personal devotions and we see what God says and answering our prayer for direction, it does little good if we do not obey it. And we note the obedience of Moses. In verse number 9, the Bible says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. We'll come back to the rest of the verse in just a moment. But I want you to notice the beginning of verse number 9. As we note the obedience, I believe that his obedience is both immediate and complete. We do not read in the context of Numbers chapter 21. We do not read where there's any dialogue between Moses and God saying, why should I have to do that? Or how does that? No. There's just stated obedience. Okay, God. Immediate. Sometimes, as we look at the importance of obedience throughout the Word of God, we could say of some that the record is given in the Word of God, we could even say of our own lives that at times our obedience is not characterized by being immediate and complete, but at times our obedience is delayed, partial. Someone said this about partial obedience, that partial obedience is still disobedience. Delayed obedience. And we understand this morning as we begin to look at this text of Scripture, you say, Pastor, I understand there's immediate and there's complete obedience, but it's because of the circumstances. I mean, they were severe, they were dire, people were being bitten and people were dying. True. But you know, obedience in your life and in my life is important. To be immediate and complete, without delay. For we know not what God has in store for us and what opportunities lie ahead as we obey Him with that immediate and complete obedience. And as we begin to evaluate our lives, we begin to look at the example of Moses and say, man, I'm thankful for Moses. I'm thankful for his intercession. I'm thankful that he forgave the people that spoke against him. He forgave them and he's interceding on their behalf. He's praying and God answers prayer. And as God gives direction, he obeys immediately and completely. There's no discussion. There's no, let's try to explain this some other way. Let's try to see, does it have to be that way? I mean, surely there could be a different way. There ought to be something else we could do. Could you imagine if they had a conference here amongst the children of Israel to determine what they should do? Can you imagine all of the different ideas they would come up with? I'm pretty sure the one that God gave would probably not even had been thought of. We find that it was not for Moses or for some other group of people to come up with a solution. It was God who provided the solution, and now it must simply be followed and obeyed. And Moses immediately and completely obeyed what God had told him to do. I find not only the intercession of Moses and the obedience of Moses, but I want you to note and consider with me this morning this third aspect as we think about Moses and his behavior in this situation. I want you to note his faithfulness. I want you to note the faithfulness of Moses. I believe that Moses is a faithful minister, a faithful servant of the Lord. And evidently, as we look at this passage of Scripture, he communicated to the people of God the message from God. The Bible tells us just a few chapters back in Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 7, God says this of Moses. He says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Hebrews chapter 3 will repeat that same testimony of Moses of being faithful. Man, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Moses. Listen, often we sing about God's faithfulness. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? Oh, man. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. He's never failed you. He's never failed me. He's never going to. And the reality is that as we sing of God's faithfulness, we understand that we too, as His people, are to be faithful. And as we look at Moses in the passage of Scripture, you will not see the word faithful. You will not note it. Here we see, as I referenced already in the 12th chapter, that God makes mention that Moses is faithful. But we find that he was faithful to communicate this message that God had given to Moses that needed to be given to the people. Though the passage of Scripture does not record for us, again, the entirety of the prayer of Moses, we do not find here either where Moses sits down and communicates with all the people, but it's implied, it's evident that he communicated to the people. For notice in verse number 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and notice what it says, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Remember what God said in verse number 8? He said, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Listen, it would not have been sufficient for Moses, say this is the congregation of the nation of Israel, for him to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and set it there, and then go back to his tent. What am I supposed to do with that? Isn't that what you'd ask? That's great, Moses, but what does that mean? Evidently, it seems implied in the text of Scripture when you read verse number 9 that anyone that was bitten, when he looked, he lived. How did he know to look? Evidently, Moses had communicated the message from God to the people. Would you agree with that? How else would they know? And as we look at the text of Scripture, and that's where we see the faithfulness of Moses. See, as Moses prays, and he prays for the people, and God gives him the answer, and he provides him with the direction that he needs, we find that Moses was entrusted with this responsibility of communicating this message to the masses. To the people, the children of Israel, countless scores of people that he had been given the responsibility from a human perspective of leadership. God was their leader, but God had used Moses personally and humanly speaking, and now he has the responsibility of communicating this message. And the Bible tells us, listen, God could have removed the fiery serpents, but he chose not to. The remedy was in this brazen serpent. And what the people needed to know, as those serpents were still in the camp and they were still biting people, that if you get bitten, you need to look. And if you look, you'll live. And it says that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. This morning, as we think about the intercession, the obedience, and the faithfulness of Moses, I hope that we would rejoice. Amen? Do you think that the congregation of the children of Israel were thankful that Moses interceded? Had he not interceded, they'd have no answer. Right? Had Moses not prayed, had he not forgiven the people, had he not sought the face of God, had he not inquired of the Lord, God's not going to answer him. God's not going to provide him with the direction. And the people are going to continue to deal with these fiery serpents. I believe this morning the people were thankful that Moses interceded. Let me ask you this. Do you think the people were thankful that Moses obeyed? What happens if he doesn't obey? What happens if Moses says, thanks for that information, God. I'll store that away somewhere and maybe get to it at some point. I'm being a little facetious this morning, but you understand. I believe the people were very thankful that Moses responded in obedience and that it was complete and immediate. I mean, if Moses had just partially obeyed, if he had just made a brazen serpent but didn't put it on a pole, if he had not communicated to the people, I mean, again, we see the seriousness and the importance of the complete and the immediate obedience. Moses was faithful. I believe that the congregation of Israel were thankful for the faithfulness of Moses. That Moses could be entrusted with the remedy, if we can call it that, this morning. And that Moses would be faithful to deliver the message to the people that they so desperately needed. Now, they were quite aware of their need. We could argue today that many people are not aware of their needs. But we find these people, they were quite aware of their need. When we think about the faithfulness, I want you to consider this from the book of Proverbs, and there's some verses that you know. When we think about the faithfulness of Moses, and how thankful we are, and how Solomon would write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God this truth of faithfulness. He said this in Proverbs 20 in verse number 6. Notice in Proverbs 20 in verse number 6. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But then notice this question, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, it's not hard to find people that will proclaim their own goodness. Is it? I mean, just open your ears a little bit in our society today. You can find all kinds of people proclaiming their own goodness. But he says, but a faithful man, who can find? Notice in chapter 25, in verse number 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. The faithful messenger, that as he faithfully fulfills the task that had been given to him, that he refresheth the soul of his masters or of those who had sent that message. We find that in chapter 28, in verse number 20, notice the first statement here. This is encouraging. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 20, a faithful man, notice what it says, shall abound with blessings. That's encouraging, isn't it? The contrast there, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But I want you to focus on the faithful man. And I begin to think about this response of Moses here in the passage of Scripture in Numbers 21. And I begin to see about this man that he interceded for the people. He obeyed God. And he was faithful. A faithful man, who can find, the book of Proverbs says. A faithful messenger refresheth the soul of his masters. And then the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Man, I want to abound with blessings. Faithfulness. What did Paul say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4? He's speaking of stewards, and he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God didn't call every one of us to do the same thing. God didn't call everyone to be a Moses. Amen? And some people said, praise the Lord, because I couldn't have led those people. Amen? But God did call every one of us to be faithful, to be obedient, and to be intercessors. And that's an example that we see in Numbers 21 of Moses. See, each and every one of us can be an intercessor. Amen? We can pray one for another. And by the way, we ought to be. Every one of us can be obedient to the decision that we make. We can obey or we disobey. There's really no middle ground. And we find that this morning, just as Moses was obedient, every time God provides you or provides me with direction, there's a choice to be made. Will I obey or will I disobey? You say, why do you boil it down so basic? Because really, that's just how basic it is. It's really just what it boils down to. And every single one of us can be faithful. It's a choice that we make. God requires faithfulness. He blesses faithfulness. He himself is faithful. It's amazing as we study the Word of God and we say, look, there's some things we can look at some people and say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. God didn't call me to do that. It's fine. What did he call you to do? Be obedient and be faithful. And every single one of us, we can intercede, we can obey, and we can be faithful. It's just a matter of what we choose to do. So this morning, as we look at Numbers 21, again, a familiar portion of Scripture, but as we focus in on the behavior of Moses, I hope this morning that we've been encouraged by Moses' behavior. that we would be thankful and rejoice just as the nation of Israel would have. Oh, Moses, we're thankful that you prayed because you got an answer. Oh, Moses, we're thankful that you obeyed because we have a solution, we have a remedy. We're thankful that you're faithful, Moses, because how would we have known otherwise? And we're encouraged by it. But I hope this morning we'd be challenged by it in our own lives. And we'd examine ourselves. Lord, how am I doing with the ministry of intercessory prayer? Am I really going to God on the behalf of others? What's my prayer life look like? God, how's my obedience? Is it immediate? Is it complete? God, how's my faithfulness? And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I hope that we could identify with Moses more than with the people. Because the people, their soul was much discouraged because of the way. They began to complain. We have no bread. We have no water. And this light bread, our soul loatheth this light bread. Oh, I hope that we could identify more with Moses than with the children of Israel, the people. Listen, it's easy to complain. It really is. But God says that we're to be thankful. We're to give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so this morning, Moses prayed for the people. And I hope that as we examine these three aspects of the behavior of Moses, that we just evaluate our own lives. Say, God, would you use us? Would you use us in our little place, in our little opportunity of influence? Use us, God, for your glory. Listen, we've been given, we've been entrusted with truth. When Brother Michael shared from that prayer letter, and I'm thankful that he gave the numbers, 30 people that are out weekly sharing the gospel. That's encouraging. That's exciting. It's convicting. And what a joy to know that we can be faithful in our little place where God has put us to do what God's called us to do. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. How we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this great account of your provision for your people. And Lord, how they confess their sin and they received an answer as Moses prayed. And God, you provided them with deliverance. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for the picture of Calvary. Now, Jesus referred to this passage of Scripture, speaking about the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and how thankful we are that Jesus went to that cruel cross. He suffered, he bled, and died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose conquering sin, death, and the grave. We thank you that he lives forevermore. We thank you that you have called us to be your servants and your ministers. And I pray that as we examine this passage this morning, that you'd help us, Lord, to be encouraged by the behavior of Moses. More than being encouraged by his behavior, I pray, God, that you'd use your word to challenge us. Lord, that we would evaluate our intercession, our obedience, and our faithfulness. Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory. I pray that in these moments that decisions would be made that would please thee, that decisions would be sealed, that God, you'd be glorified. Well, thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. We have an opportunity to have a time of invitation, give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Perhaps this morning God has used his word to speak to your heart. Would you respond? As Kimberly plays, the altar is open. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.